It's time now for Extra Extra. An inside look at the news from Wicked Local. With your hosts, Caitlin Kelleher and Joy Richard.
Welcome to Extra Extra, the podcast that will take you behind the scenes into the Wicked Local newsrooms. I'm Caitlin Kelleher.
And I'm Joy Richard.
Today we are joined by Phil and Rich from BCAT, which is the Burlington Cable Access television station. And we're going to talk a little bit about what they do to prepare for elections. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
All right. So this is Joy, and we're here today with Phil Gallagher and Rich Hosford. Phil, how long have you been with BCAT in Burlington?
I was originally on the Board of Selectmen when it was created in 1983 or 84, I believe. But I've been on since 82. I was originally on Greater Boston Cablevision.
Okay, and was that what was there prior to BCAT?
Yeah, that was the regional. That was the regional station. Actually, the regional cable TV company that serviced Burlington, Billerica, Woburn, Stoneham, six or seven towns.
And when did Burlington Cable Access break and become its own entity?
It was created by state law and then a vote of the Board of Selectmen and the town meeting. So I guess it was probably 1985 when it was originally created.
Okay. And when did you begin your partnerships with the local newspapers like the Union and other print publications?
Well, I wrote for them as a columnist for the it was the Burlington News, and it was the Burlington Times and the Daily Times Chronicle. But in the very beginning, we had a program called Editors Roundtable, which was the three full-time editors of the two dailies, the two weeklies and the one daily. And from there, we did candidate interviews, and then also we did live election night coverage. So that's been going on for about, at least 25 years.
Okay. And do you have a background in journalism, or was your career in something different?
No, I was originally an aircraft mechanic, and then I owned an electronics firm, and then ultimately ended up in banking. But this has been a hobby since the early 1980s when we created the station.
Great. And when did you start anchoring the news for BCAT?
I think I'm in my 21st year.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what's that experience been like, the evolution? Because I know at least two or three years ago, you started doing more news coverage, specifically with Rich as the news director. What's that evolution been like?
Well, the evolution basically has been the decline of the print media, and what we wanted to do was to try and fill that gap in local coverage. As you know, in your business, clearly digital media has begun to take over, and the print media is declining quite rapidly. And I'll give you an example. When we did Editors Roundtable, we had three full-time editors who covered the community solely, John White, Liz Banks, and Freddie Heineman. And in their organizations, each of them had two or three stringers. Now, since then, the Daily Times Chronicle is a shadow of itself. Since then, we don't have a full-time editor. And I think, Joy, you're the editor for five or six of the weeklies.
I do print production for four papers, including Burlington.
Well, you can imagine, we had one full-time editor covering the town and stringers. So we've gone from, nine or ten people that were covering local issues on a regular basis for the print media to, maybe two that are full-time, on a full-time basis. So what we tried to do, we knew Rich. Rich was a familiar face around town from his activity in the digital side. And we wanted to see if we could fill some of the void that was left by the reduction in the print media coverage. So previous to this, we were essentially, stealing I wouldn't say we were plagiarizing, but we were using a lot of the print media in our television coverage. Mm-hmm. Now we're generating our own independent coverage, our own independent reporting with Rich and some of the other people that we use.
Okay, and moving over to Rich, who I know that you advocated for when he first came on as the news director. Rich, how did you get to know Burlington prior to being with BCAT?
Well, when I first started out with Patch at the end of 2010, Phil invited me on, and I did a show with him where we talked about local media issues and just sort of what was going on. They did a news story, and then during their election coverage, they brought me in to see if, you know, I'd be part of their sort of panel discussions or forums with the candidates to ask some questions, and I agreed to that. So when they were looking for somebody, they found out that, you know, I had stopped working for Patch and was available and brought me on board.
How do you guys tend to handle election night and the lead up to election day? Because I know that local elections have a variety of issues, and with cable TV, you kind of guys have to deal with different aspects of it than we do in the news, in the print side.
We've always done it since the inception of the cable TV company, the 501c3. And what we did in the old days was that each of the candidates for any elective office that was contested would be brought in for a half an hour, and they would be interrogated by the three editors. So, you know, these were people who were covering issues on a regular basis at town meetings, selectmen, board of health, planning board, etc. So, you know, it was hard to, you know, it was difficult for a candidate to be a phony, because these people knew what they were talking about, and they would ask them questions that related to the very positions that they were running for. So, you know, it was a sorting out process. If you were a fraud, it didn't take 3 or 4 minutes for you to be exposed by people who knew what the issues were. Then subsequently, we would have live election night coverage where we would bring in the votes. All three of the editors would appear in many cases, I moderated the panel, but there were other people who did it as well. And we would then interview the winners at the end of the evening and, you know, discuss what their plans were going forward.
Yeah, and we've kept up the bringing in the candidates as far as, you know, having local media. I know Joy came by for a couple of the shows, and we've been keeping that up. And in uncontested races, we still try to get all the candidates for the townwide offices to come in so that we can at least interview them. If it's, you know, if obviously, if it's uncontested, it won't be a debate, but we still want to know where their thoughts are, what their background is, where they're coming from, and, you know, why they have chosen to run for this office. And on top of that, we also go out and cover some of the other panels, like the Burlington Area Chamber of Commerce and the Senior Center have had some debates or forums with candidates in the last couple of years, and we try to make sure that we're there to cover and record all of them.
I know when I've done television debates and stuff like that, and I've worked with Lex Media and other community access cable channels, I'm always anxious about, all right, what are the rules of the road for what you're supposed to wear and all of that kind of stuff. How much does that play into what the candidates start to ask you guys as you, like, do you worry about stripes? Do we worry about volume and all of those kind of, because most of us don't have television experience kind of coming into this.
Well, you know, I mean, it's essentially, you know, standard business attire, I think, is what everybody gets. You know, for the men, you wear a blue suit and, you know, some sort of a colored tie and a white shirt. I think that works for everybody. And, it's basically what you would wear to work. Sometimes you get, I remember I interviewed the mayor of Woburn one time, and he had apparently dressed in the dark because he had a different suit jacket on and he had suit pants. So I think, but that was just a mistake. But, it's just the standard stuff. I mean, we joke, Rich and I joke now and then about calling for makeup, just before the broadcast starts. But you don't have to worry about that too much because we have the people that we have a great deal of experience in this. So, you know, if they make you look bad on camera, I mean, it's a reflection really on their professional capabilities. So we don't really. Plus, we're a couple of really handsome guys, so we don't worry about that too much.
Absolutely. So we're going to go to commercial break quickly, and we'll be right back in a few minutes with Rich and Phil. So we just were discussing about how candidates need to prepare for forums on television, what they should wear, what to do and what not to do on camera. And I think the only thing that Phil left out was that, you know, he should kind of steer away from green because you'll turn into a floating head with the chroma key behind you. But so let's move on to how journalists connect through BCAT and through print on these different forums. I know that I have sat in on several forums at BCAT during election season. Most recently, it was for Board of Selectmen. We talked to a panel of three candidates, one newcomer who actually won, Selectman James Tigges, who's also on the police department, a longtime candidate and former board member Virginia Mooney, and then Joan Kennedy Constance, correct? So Rich and I, we sat down prior to the forum and came up with a list of questions. We kind of knew what we wanted to ask beforehand simply because of the issues that have been talked about in previous print stories and on BCAT. So coming up with the questions, it's easy. It's basically just kind of how to split them between us so we don't run over each other with the same information or questions. Does that sound pretty accurate, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the questions just came from, you know, being at meetings and, you know, sort of knowing the issues and knowing what people are interested in. So we were able to, you know, keep it relevant to sort of what's been going on recently in town.
And also, I know for myself, I take a lot of my questions for those type of things from the conversations that I've had with people when writing their election profiles, which I'm sure Rich has done as well in the past. And again, like he said, from meetings and hot topic issues, like, of course, the legalization of marijuana was a big topic. What were some of the other things that we talked about that night?
Well, one perennial or constant issue in Burlington is, one, traffic is always a big deal, but also economic development, sort of how do you foster it? How do you keep you know, Burlington the community that it is without changing it too quickly? Things like liquor licenses are always a big deal. I think we asked questions about that, you know, whether they would support bringing in more.
You know, so. Fire station, water quality.
Yes.
Early starting times for the schools.
Yeah, that
one. I mean, there's a lot of things that roll over from year to year.
How much feedback do you guys get from audience members and from viewers? Because I know as reporters for print publication, we get letters to the editor, opinion columns. How do you guys handle viewer feedback?
Well, we also have a space for letters to the editor. And, you know, we are quite active on social media. So we'll get feedback from, you know, Facebook and to a lesser extent, Twitter. And we also just get a lot of people emailing us either story ideas or their thoughts on something that we've written just like directly through our website.
Well, I'll tell you, from a historical standpoint, the feedback is just dreadful. And again, I blame this to a large degree on the decline of the local print media. The participation in townwide elections over the last 25 years has been declining greatly to the point where it's embarrassing. The electorate is either lazy or apathetic or a combination of both, because we've had, in recent years, we've had people who, you know, I mean, we had one candidate for selectman who lived in the town for less than 11 months or 10 months. The participation rates in the individual contested races is dismal. The turnout is even worse. I think 2 years ago we had a 9% turnout. So it's kind of embarrassing from a political gadfly to watch how the participation of the electorate has declined so dramatically over the years. I mean, if you go back 20 years, an election in Burlington for selectmen was like a tong war. You'd have headquarters for each of the candidates, in which there might be 15 or 20 volunteers on a nightly basis doing, you know, precinct sheets and red dots, and you'd have people on the street corners and, you know, handing out flyers, walking door to door. You very rarely see that now, and it's reflected in the overall turnouts.
Absolutely, yeah. Do you think it's important for an institution like BCAT to remain connected with the local print media, especially in times like the election season?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've made it. I'm a member of the board of directors, and we've made it an absolute priority to reach out to every community organization, anybody that we can reach on any subject matter that we can present to them, whether it's in, you know, whether it's the schools or the government or the public channel, trying to encourage people to get into participate either on camera or off camera in production and story ideas. Rich is working on that on a daily basis, as is the rest of the staff.
Definitely. I can see that in a lot of the coverage that you guys do. Rich, how do you change your coverage style from year to year, if you do, to help engage the community? Because as Phil was saying, it is hard for both print and television to keep people engaged in local elections.
Well, I don't know if we changed the style so much. We've been trying to expand and add new shows and programs. Like, we just launched recently B News In Depth, which is sort of like a monthly show where we take one issue and we kind of boil down on it. The first one was a proposed ban on recreational marijuana that was before town meeting that was eventually passed. And this month, actually just yesterday, we had our second episode come out at a look at the proposal for later school start times at the high school and how it would impact the students there and the students at the elementary school. So it's really just a matter of trying to find out what, you know, is people are interested in, what people are talking about, and providing, you know, further and, you know, deeper information for them to sort of, you know, get engaged with.
Over the years, on a regular basis, one or two a month, depending on the subject matter. But we have one dedicated employee, and Rich runs a daily newsletter, which is, you know, where we're bringing original content to our viewership, but our social media lists. We're bringing daily content, original content to them. So we're trying to expand that. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. If you sign up for the on the email list, you're getting that daily original content. So there's a lot that can be done and will continue to be done, and we're aggressively pursuing that. But, you know, these things, you know, like anything, they take time, and we're trying to build that, one brick at a time. Making that one connection at a time with people who want to receive our content.
That's really interesting. We are going to take our last break of the show, and we'll be right back. We're back. And Rich and Phil, thank you very much for joining us today. And one of the things I realized as I sat here and I listened was that we didn't actually talk about what community access television is and how it kind of comes to be in a community. Would one of you like to take that question?
It sounds like you, Phil.
Well, it was created by state law, and it was created by federal law. CC, Community Cable Television, was created, I think, in the 50s. And what happened was that somebody, I think, in Pennsylvania, who lived in a valley, they didn't have television reception, so it was CCTV, Community Cable Television. They erected an antenna on the highest point in the community, and then that cable was distributed down through the homes in the valley. So that was the origin of cable TV. When the cable companies came in, a portion of the, everybody realized that you know, hey, they're going to be getting a license from the town to solely serve the community, so they would have a monopoly, and the state realized that there would be an opportunity for the communities to reach out in a variety of different ways. So PEG was the origin of that, which was public education and governmental access. So I knew about this in 1982, and I went to Greater Boston Cablevision. I said, hey, look, you're not doing any community cable programming. I'd like to do a program. And they said, well, we're really not interested. And I said, well, gee, you know, I kind of know what the law is. You know, should I have my attorney contact you? And a couple of days later, I got a call. They said, hey, gee, we'd love to do some local TV. So it expanded from that. Greater Boston Cable eventually became, I think, Comcast or one of the three, and then we got a second license provider and a third license provider. But the state law allowed for an access fee. A portion of their bill would be dedicated to this public educational and governmental. And from that, then, 501c3 nonprofit independent corporation was created that could provide these services to the communities. So BCAT started with, you know, one director and has gradually grown, you know, both technologically and from a staffing standpoint from that point with the inflow of capital that's come from the contracts.
Okay, great. I have one last question as we wrap up our show that's for both of you guys. What is one moment that you'll take away from your time with BCAT that you felt the community really benefited from the services that you were giving as a local news outlet? We'll start with Phil.
Well, the it's a funny one, actually, but the first live broadcast that we did was, so I don't know how many years, Herb Clancy was Santa, but we did live with Santa Claus. And we had, you know, announced that children could come and be on the television program, etc., and meet with Santa, and Santa's Mrs. Santa was there, and it was really, you know, it was really both heartwarming and interesting from an organizational standpoint to see what kind of a turnout we would get, and sure enough, we had a long line of children, and we were prepared with candy and elves and all the rest of that. So, you know, it was really an indication of what prospects over the long term that a local cable programming station would have and what impact it would have in a community.
Okay, and we'll go over now to one of the elves who's been an elf in the past. So, Rich, what's been that moment for you?
Yeah, I'm the photography elf during the Santa show. It's hard to sort of point to one moment. I kind of am on the same wavelength as Phil is. I really enjoy when I get a chance to go and do stories at the at the schools, especially the elementary schools, because the kids are always very excited to be on television, and then, you know, they'll always ask where to see it, and then I'll bump into them later on, and they'll almost always remember that, you know, I was the guy that put them on TV, and they're usually excited to see me a second time. I don't get that from any of the politicians or most of the adults that I get that I interview.
No, I have no desire to see myself on television, so I can totally understand why you don't get that back.
I think it's an excitement you lose as you leave maybe 18 years old, probably.
Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us, Phil, by calling in, and Rich for coming into the studio with us. And can you guys give out where people can watch you and follow you guys on social media, even if they're not in Burlington?
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at BCAT News, and on Facebook also at BCAT News. We're on all three we've got three channels on all RCN, Comcast, and Verizon, so you can just check local listings. And our weekly B News show first airs at 6 o'clock on Friday evenings.
And I want to remind people that even if BCAT is not your local cable access channel, everybody has one, and it's a really good source of additional news, bulletin boards. We really supplement each other in what we can cover and how we can cover events. And
I want to make one more pitch, too. We have a webpage, bcattv.org, bcattv.org, in which you can find all of Rich's stories, and we have an archive, so you can look up any of our original programming, and you can stream it right on your computer.
Yeah, we have us also sign up links to our daily newsletter right on that website as well.
And if you're ever wondering what's on BCAT at any moment, we run the cable listings in the Burlington Union, and most of our publications at Wicked Local run the cable listings each week whenever you get your paper on your doorstep.
Yep. So I'm Caitlin Kelleher. Follow me on Twitter at CM Kelleher and email me at ckelleher@wickedlocal.com. And we really do want to know what else you want to know about local elections and how election coverage works. So please get in touch.
And I'm Joy Richard. You can follow me at Extra Extra Joy on Twitter. And you can also email with me if you like, jrichard@wickedlocal.com. Like Caitlin said, we'd love to hear your feedback. We want to know what kinds of stories you'd like to hear from us about the coverage that we do here at Wicked Local. So feel free to reach out.
Thanks for starting your week with us.
Have a good one.
You can join Caitlin and Joy as they go behind the scenes each week at Wicked Local. Follow Caitlin on Twitter at CM Kelleher and Joy at Extra Extra Joy. Thank you for listening to Extra Extra.